Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Derek Felix, and it is a good late night, Monday night into Tuesday morning here in the New York City area, a June 25th going on 26th, as it is after midnight here, 12:32 a.m. on the East Coast here instead of New York City. And if you're on the West Coast, it's 9:32. And you're still on June 25th. Good evening. I am your host, Derek Felix. Derek Flex Felix here, as we do a little sports talk, a little sports podcast here, a little late night show. We've got about an hour here that we're going to do live. And plenty of stuff to certainly go over, including what took place last week with the two drafts, the NBA draft, last Thursday, the NHL draft. Was over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. So we'll certainly give you some opinions on that. Also of note, the NHL is getting closer and closer to the July 1 free agency. And what you have right now are teams allowed to now talk to some of the free agents to be. They are allowed to talk and negotiate. So John Tavares, who looked like he was going to re-sign with the Islanders, he is going to speaking to five teams in addition to the Islanders. Those teams are as follows. They are the San Jose Sharks, the Boston Bruins, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Dallas Stars, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he will be talking to each of those teams. He spoke to Toronto earlier tonight. And I think San Jose might be next, actually, in LA. So it's just a little bit of a note there. So those are the teams that he decided to give the open. I think that he's going to re-sign with the Islanders. We'll have to find out and see. If that's the case, the last report was that they had offered him an 8-year contract, you know, 8-year max worth $88 million, $11 million cap hit. So it's pretty much kind of what I expected. But the Islanders can also, of course, talk to him, and they might have to offer more. Whenever you have Tampa Bay involved, you know, that's a team that you have to worry about because, you know, the money they could offer could be cheaper, but it's tax-free. So that's certainly something to be considered. And you just imagine if Tavares actually signed with the Lightning, what they have already, with Steven Stamkos. And then you have Tavares, you have Kucherov, who obviously needs a big bump up. Palat, Braden Point, who needs a new contract, and Victor Hedman, the Norris winner, McDonough. If he actually gets signed there, you know, Tampa Bay would obviously have to shed some salary. So whether it's a Palat or a Alex Killorn or possibly somebody else. They'd have to shed some salary to make it work for Tyler Johnson. So I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Obviously, Toronto is one of the teams that Tavares will speak to. He will not speak to the Montreal Canadiens. Why would he want to speak to the Canadiens? They have no idea what the hell they're doing anyway. At last check, they think it's okay to have interest in a wife beater. Or it might have been just a girlfriend. Slava Voynov, who did that to his significant other, domestic violence, and got the big suspension, and he left the league, and he went back home to Russia, and now he wants to come back to the NHL. Montreal is interested in him. I just don't understand how any team would consider him. And of course, it would be the Canadiens, a team that was so upset with Tiku Subban's charity to his children's hospital that they traded him to the Nashville Predators for Shea Weber. Yeah, it was such a huge distraction. Definitely what says it all about Montreal. They just don't know what the hell they're doing. Now, there is also baseball stuff going on. Yankees actually came off a 3-game losing streak. They lost. They got swept by the Rays. In between the bats and all that series. Look, you're going to go through a slump. They've been playing great baseball. Haven't been playing really well in that series. They pitch well, and the Yankees could not hit at all in that series. And they swept in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay plays hard. I have to give the Rays credit. Kevin Cash does a really good job there. They did a good job pitching, and they are competitive. They stay in ball games. I thought they'd be a laughing stock, and I'm wrong. They're still well managed. It doesn't seem to matter who manages them. Terrific job by them. Yankees were able to snap the 3-game losing streak. They were able to do that with a victory tonight in Philadelphia by a score of 4-2. Luisica, or Lasagna, as we like to call him, his third start after a not-so-good second start. Took a no-hitter, I think, to the fifth or sixth inning. Just a very good ball game. Eight strikeouts. And the Yankees go on to the 4-2 win. Judge hit a 20th home run. Scanlon continues to be red hot. Scanlon's been red hot fire lately. A Baltimore chop, a fast Baltimore chop for a big two-run single, which gave them those extra runs, and it turned out to be the game-winning RBIs because if you think about it, Chapman did give up the solo blast in that ninth inning. So he gives up the solo blast in the ninth, but gets the save, and so left Mikel Franco two out. Led away from that fastball, that 102 fastball, sped up the bat of Franco, and that's something you don't do. And Franco was able to clock one for his 10th. He's been underperforming for the Phillies. From a Yankees perspective, fire, and he's really getting it going. He's starting to look like a stand-up from last year. So could it be a repeat of things to come? I don't know. Torres with a RBI double as well. Neil Walker continues to struggle. He's 0-2 with 2 strikeouts. And Bird was 0-2 as well. And neither Bird or Walker are hitting. So these are things to note, and certainly things that you might be a little concerned with. I don't know how much longer they're going to stick with Neil Walker because he's just been ice cold for the last month. And I don't understand why Clint Frazier continues to go down. I don't understand why Brandon Drury is blocked. I mean, it seems like that they're limiting themselves. They have better options. And it might be time to pull the plug on Neil Walker. So, as for Greg Bird, I don't know when he's going to hit. Gary Sanchez is on the DL with a hamstring. So, right now, it's Austin Romine doing the catching, obviously. and he recalled Hayabusa, so a guy that was not hitting at all, so Kyle Hayabusa. But it's certainly a a win for Loyola. Robinson giving up a run to Tatis. Struggled a little bit with his command, but still a scoreless setting regardless. Two walks and a K. Chapman with his 23rd save. So the Yankees pick up a good win, a win to just get things in the right direction. They're 51-25. So now just a couple other notes here from the baseball. We have the Cubs. They've actually been losers of five in a row. Yeah, they just they had a really rough time against the Cincinnati Reds, which is very surprising. The Reds are not good at all. They're horrible and one of the worst teams. But the Cubs had a rough go of it. They did have a rough go of it. Of course, the Reds would lose to the Braves today. It looks like they just lost in 11 innings to the Braves, who have the best record in the NL East. The Cubs are trailing 2-1 in the ninth inning, top of the ninth inning with two out. And I think Baez just knocked in a run. But there are two out, and they are down to their left out. So a sack flush for Baez. And they do have a runner on first. If they that's it. They are out, and they lose again. They've lost six in a row. Pretty odd, because it looked like they would finally turn things around. You don't expect to lose to the Reds. You don't expect to get swept. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's baseball sometimes. Baseball's weird. It's strange. Teams do go through winning streaks. They also go through losing stretches. Cubs are going through a rough stretch right now. They are still 10 games over 500, and I still think they're going to be a playoff team. I'm sure that they'll get in the playoffs. They have enough good hitters. You've got, obviously, Rizzo. Jason Hayward's been swinging a good bat. Bryant is still out with an injury. He won RBIs, even though he's a free swinger. Schwarber, nothing for much of an average, but it's got, I think, 15 home runs. And Omora Jr. is becoming a really good hitting center fielder, a good defensive center fielder. Does a lot of things well, so that's good itself. But the Dodgers have been playing great baseball, and they're winning all their games lately. And it's Sean. So that's where we are there. Talk about the we could also talk about the World Cup a little bit. I'll tell you, this tournament's been very interesting so far. You've got about seven, I think about almost half the field of what would be the 16 teams that are going to be in the knockout round. I mean, the highlight to me was Germany. That German game against Sweden, a game that I watched, and it was just unbelievable. What a great game that was. Germany, they were up against it. They had not scored in the first, I want to say, they had not scored in the first, if you include the extra time, in the first 95 plus another 45. They had not scored in the first 140 minutes, basically. So they had really struggled. They were down to Sweden at the half, and if they did not get the save, they got at the conclusion of the first half, because it looked like Sweden had a short goal that would have made it 2-0. We might be talking about Germany and the defending champs being gone, but they're still around. They came out and played a much better second half. They got the game tied very quickly in the 47th minute, so 2 minutes in. They tied the game on a nice setup. And then, the dramatic conclusion. a dramatic loser that we'll remember if Germany goes far again. Germany wanted the win. They needed the win. They went for it. Even after losing a player to a red card, a second yellow, so they were down a man, and they were the better team. They were still attacking, and they had all sorts of chances. It lived out through the extra time. They had a crossbar where it looked like they had the Swedish goalie Olsen beat, but off the crossbar. And then a takedown, a iron spot foul, and a free kick with basically minutes to spare in the fifth minute. And what a free kick that was. Just an awesome play there. Cruz pushes it to his guy in front rather than trying to just kick it right away into that, you know, little two-man wall. He taps it to the guy, to his teammate in front. That allows him to tee it up. The teammate just gets out of the way, lets him tee it up, and he curls it inside the bar, and he scores a dramatic goal in about the 95th minute. And his teammates are celebrating, and it was pretty chaotic, and it was pretty awesome. And, you know, I think that's what, you know, what epitomizes the World Cup, just that kind of play. But the guts that Germany showed in that win, the way they were able to come back and win that game, and they were down a man. I mean, that is really hard to do after just a stupid play that received a yellow card, which was the second yellow of the game, the player. And they get, no, they didn't advance, but they got a huge win, and it was awesome. That was an awesome game. So today you had England. They advanced pretty easily with, I think, four or five goals in their win. But the other two games were really tight in that group. You had Spain. Spain, of course, always a good country when it comes to the soccer. And tell you, they actually fell behind Morocco 2-1. But they also found a way to tie it late in the first extra minute of the of extras. And beautiful stuff right there. And then amazing conclusion, because the referee ruled that it was offside originally, that they didn't get back onside, but I thought it was an offside play, and the replay showed it, certainly showed it enough that it was a great redirect there, with all those awesome redirects that you also see in hockey, which I do think soccer and hockey are very similar. Kind of a back tip deflection off the opposite leg, and it was in. And the first thing I thought was, well, like, wow, did that really just happen? But when the referee called the offside, he called it for offside, I was just like, really? I didn't really feel it was offside. And the replay, it's a good thing we have a replay to review these things now, because their replay showed what we saw already. And definitely for some of the other yeah, it definitely did very true. The player was able to get back offside, and they did score, and they got the tying goal. And they would get the all-important point. They had more. They did finish with more goals than their rival, which gave the group A. So, actually, I think it was group M. No, okay, yeah, that's right, group M. It was group M. I'm sorry about that. Definitely exciting stuff. A lot of these games have been very highly competitive. Like you had Iran. They really played their balls out. But they also just didn't get the benefit there. So some really good soccer being played. You've got a couple of really interesting matchups. Russia is the host country. They are going to be playing Spain in the round of 16. I'm sure, of course, they're going to get overwhelming support. They do not play in a strong group, and the Spanish are no joke. I would expect Spain to win, even in an atmosphere where it's going to be pro-Russia. So I'm picking to win. The other one was the you got a really good matchup, Uruguay against Portugal. This is an excellent matchup. Portugal, Fernando, and Uruguay. Boy, they're very talented. I think Suarez is on their team. So these are guys that they don't like. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, in terms of the draft, you really don't have that much to say. I mean, I let out a lot of frustration. What else can you say? When you're a Knicks fan, you let out frustration. It's like a form of life. You expect the worst. And I want to make one thing clear, though. If there was less of that draft at basement location B, Kevin Knox is a good player. So Kevin Knox will be a good player. So that's not even a question. Another question to me. He'll be good. It's just that I would have liked to see the Knicks take Porter, or I would have liked to see them take Mikal Bridges. And I want to see something else. This is something that really bothers me about this draft. But how many times are you gonna see, you know, that idiot, that clown, that arrogant prick, Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, report a trade, and the trade's going down, or say who's gonna be picked or whatever, and spoil all the fun? It's just annoying after a while. But again, it's his job. But, you know, some of us do want to be surprised. But what's the point of drafting a player, having a team announce a draft pick if they're going to be traded to the other team for the other pick? Like what we had with Luka Doncic, who the Hawks selected, really, for the Dallas Mavericks. And the Mavericks, they took Trigg, went to the Hawks. So the Hawks could get a couple of extra second-round picks. And I just don't get it. I don't understand it. What's the point of having to wear a hat of a team? It's stupid. It's stupidity. And this is what you have. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me to have that, to just have that happening. But don't really understand. So now, Porter Jr. dropped down. What do you want? 14th for Denver Nuggets. That's a good team for him. Yeah, I understand the reporter him was not good, and that's why he dropped as far as he did. It's not like he played a lot of collegiate in Missouri because of the injury. And when it comes to backs, look, I understand there's a risk. So, but from a Nuggets standpoint, they can rest him. They can keep him healthy for a year, and they can bring him in the following year. And hopefully he'll be ready to play and light it up, kind of like Ben Simmons. Or not Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. So I think that's pretty much the point I'm making here. So now, I was going to say a couple other things that were on my mind. Just But I'm kind of beat, actually, anyway. Hockey draft. I mean, I don't think, obviously, the first couple of picks weren't surprises. Dahlin going number one to the Sabres. He's going to be that huge difference maker. He has all the talent. He's going to make the Sabres so much better. And then, of course, Svechnikov to the Carolina Hurricanes, who made some waves. Very interesting deal that they struck there, that five-player deal at the Calgary Flames, acquiring Dougie Hamilton, along with the rights to a prospect that I like, defenseman, that I wouldn't mind that the Rangers being in on, but they weren't. So, and Michael Ferland. So, I thought that was an interesting deal. They traded away Carolina. They traded Noah Hanifin, who I think could be a number one defenseman. He's only played 3 years, and boy, he looks really good. And they also gave up Elias? Oh, that's right, Elias Lindholm. And they're going to be coached again by Bill Peters, so they certainly know the coach, and the coach knows them, so that'll be interesting. See, I think it's a deal that's going to help both teams. So it's very hard to say that one team came out shorter. I think Hamilton is a guy he's got a lot of talent. I just don't know if he's quote unquote the guy. But it's an interesting move for both teams. I think it's going to help Carolina, especially with the fact they got Svechnikov. Definitely rumored to be shopping Jeff Skinner. It makes sense. And Justin Falk could also be on the move. So, I mean, they look like they're going to be much improved. Of course, they're going to be better goaltending. So that would be interesting to see. There weren't that many trades. No, Jeff Skinner did not get traded. No, Erik Karlsson has not gotten moved yet, and I don't know when he will get moved. The Florida Panthers did acquire in that three-team trade, as it turned out to be. They were able to get Mike Hoffman. Ottawa had dealt with the San Jose, and San Jose packaged him back so they could get some draft picks. They already have a little team, and they want to go after Tavares. But what's going on right now is that some moves are being held off until these teams see what's going to happen with guys like Tavares. So we're still waiting on some other moves to happen. So once Tavares decides to make his decision, that should kick everything into gear. And then maybe you'll see some dominoes start to fall. And remember, I mean, this doesn't really get underway until July 1. But John Carlson will be signed with the Caps, getting the $8 million per year. And, good for him. Good for him. I think that he certainly earned it. The Caps have no choice there. They have to keep him. Rangers standpoint, you hope that Kravtsov, the Russian, has that skill set, proves that he can come over next year and understand and do a good job. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm not expecting him to get bought, get bought out with his final year of his contract. But was it a reach? I don't think it was that so much that it was a reach. It's just that he's Russian. And, you know, you always have that red flag. Whereas I look at Wallstrom. I don't know who Wallstrom that is. Who slid right into the Islanders' hands. Who are all there. And, you know, everything's going to lose away. And everything's going down the swing. He's doing really well. Barry Trotz, obviously. That was a great pickup. So, 5. So let's see what happens there. And I mean, they also got a good defenseman too, in Dobson. So, I mean, they had back-to-back checks, and they did really well. So, I mean, I think this was a good draft. I think there's some good talent in it. So I would be very interested. I'm very interested to see, you know, how this draft is perceived, how it goes down in the history books. So, you know, if Detroit taking Zadina, rather than go for Quinn Hughes, because they do need a defenseman, they went for the big score. A guy who was passed up on by Ottawa, and I think Montreal, he said he's going to make them pay. So, I mean, Montreal went for the Finn. I'm not sure if that was the right pick, but that's what they decided to do. They decided to go for the center because they don't have any centers. We do understand that. And of course, they also, you know, had traded Alex Galchenyuk over to the Arizona Coyotes for Max Domi. So they're certainly they're making some changes. They're looking to change a little bit of their attitude there. I don't know how much it's going to have an impact at all, but it'll be interesting to see. Did a real good job. They also got Wild, defenseman, who sounds like he certainly could be a very interesting one. So, you know, this was a very good draft. And, yeah, it was also one where the Rangers had 3 picks in the first round. And, I mean, I like the move for Keandre Miller trading to 22. They did give up a second-round pick, though. And so that was a little bit of overpayment. But, you know, I'll take the chips. So, I mean, it is a crapshoot. It is. Definitely. But I just wonder, you know, how is it really going to pan out? We don't really know how it's going to pan out. So, that's the whole thing. You can't really predict right now. You know, what I do know is that if the Rangers really are committed to this rebuild with the teams they are, it's going to take time. These things often do take time. So, I obviously do not expect much next year. And look, I felt like this is what they had to do. I think there are plenty of Rangers fans that do as well. I mean, the patience is going to be tested. Are fans ready for this? Again, where they're going to not be so good. They're not going to be a playoff team, most likely, unless something like miraculous happens. Seems like the other teams are improving. The Islanders being one of those. Phillies. What else do we have? But it's definitely going to be interesting to see what goes on. I would stay on, but I'm kind of sleepy, to be honest. And probably could tell just from this podcast it's bad. Bad quality for me, even though I know which players mentioned that I like. I did not like what happened in that NBA draft with the Kyle Bridges, where the 76ers decided they were going to draft him. And his mom works for the 76ers. There was a feel-good moment. They both were interviewed. They were both ecstatic, you know, the fact that that he was going to become a Sixer and get to be a Sixer where his mom worked, like an HR kind of position. And then
Yeah, it's like dream come true. Then, of course, it comes down later that the Sixers traded him. Like, I thought that was just ridiculous.
How would you feel if you were the kid? How would you feel if you're the mom? And they just traded him, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Tough situation, certainly.
Well, I hope he does well. I hope he lights it up with the Suns.
I do. Although it's kind of odd. I mean, where's he going to fit? And you got Devin Booker there, too. I like that trade a lot for the Arizona Suns. Well, the Phoenix Suns, actually. That's what I should say. Arizona Coyotes, Phoenix Suns. And I guess it's easy to get mixed up when you think about the fact that that's how it's become with Arizona. Not really sure what else to say. There was so much that I wanted to say, but I'm just so dead from the workday, and I think I'm just gonna call myself just gonna have some water, get some sleep actually. And maybe what we'll do is we'll do a different podcast on this whole thing when I have more energy. So this way I can give better takes because I know it's not good. But if anybody did tune in, thank you for tuning in. And we'll certainly have more interesting stuff along the way. So thanks to JPG for not calling in and being a total bitch. And thanks to Rod for continuing to blow out and not be part of the show because of his fixation on Justin JNF Felix, my brother. And thanks to Brian Sehor for being his usual odd self. The usual predictable things have happened. And JPD doesn't like when I talk Cobbs for some reason. He thinks that it's like a personal insult. Yeah, I have a vendetta against the Cubs. It's true. Yeah, it's very true. I don't really know what else to say that I have it out for him, but I do like how he won't acknowledge Javi Baez, the fact that he's got 51 RBIs. And he's probably going to wind up with over 90. But he'll just fixate on everything else. Because that's what JPG it does. He won't discuss Kyle Schwarber and his .234 average. He won't discuss Addison Russell with his .270 average and like his 2 or 3 home runs. So, but this is who JPG is. So, it's not really a shock. Not in the least. There were a couple of steals in the NBA draft. Lonnie Walker was one. So, I like him. I mean, he could really score the ball. He's streaky a little bit when it comes to three, but he could drive it. He's got great leaping ability. So, you have that. I know that I saw that the Magic got ripped for drafting Mohamed Bamba, the guy with the 8 foot wingspan. But I really think this guy is a monster talent. So I like that move for the Magic. I don't understand what the Bulls did drafting Wendell Carter Jr. So, Celtics were able to get Robert Williams pretty late, too. Kind of fell to them. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, let's see what happens. We've got more World Cup action, obviously, tomorrow.
So that's always good. That's going to be fun. So I love the World Cup. It's great. It's certainly great. It's fun. It's unpredictable. And how we'll do it is great. You know, it's really hard to decipher the NL West. Like, I think the Dodgers obviously are the best team. The Giants are hanging in there. But they're really, they have too many guys hurt. I don't think they're a little too flawed. So, we'll see what happens there. Free agency. I mean, you got NBA as well, but nothing's really going to happen to a total Bromix.
Even now, all this time later, it's still about LeBron James. It's all about the game. So that's going to do it for the show. Make sure you tune in for any future shows. I'll probably do another one of these and sound a little more up for tuning in. And have a great night.